Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was this gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let's hold on here a second, just with the first couple verses. This is a continuous thought from the previous chapter. He had been speaking of how the children of Israel had failed to enter the promised land, had failed to enter into God's rest. You know, the Sabbath day is what? A day of rest. The seventh day is a day of rest. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, let no man judge you in days and moons and all that. And there are people who want to tell you this specific day or that specific day. But I say that the message of Hebrews and of the gospel is today is the day of salvation. Today is a special holy day. Today, if you will enter into his rest, you can have it. That's why there's this talk about today. We still have to rest. We still have to observe God's holy day. But I tell you, the wisdom of Christianity is not one day, but every day. Now, I do not despise those who do honor a special day and have that as their church service day. But you got to remember that the Sabbath was something more than just a day to go to church. As it was put to me recently, it was not just a day to observe the observance of a day, where it just became this sort of meaningless, well, this we call it the Sabbath, we go to church on that day, that's pretty much it. And we don't work. We don't work. Every minister works on the Sunday, whatever, but whether it be Saturday, Sunday, my point is that I'm not going to be judged on that basis by anybody. I will not let any man judge me. I honor every day alike. And in the scriptures of the New Testament, I have that liberty. Because if I honor every day alike, I do honor the Sabbath, whatever day it happens to be. If it's Saturday, I'm honoring it. If it's Sunday, I'm honoring it. Don't come to me and say, no, you have to honor this day above. Above. I can grant no greater honor to any day that I should rest always in Christ. And I don't work Saturday or Sunday. But also, I am not averse to dragging an ox out of a pit on the day of rest or on any day. As Jesus put it, which of you will not rescue his animal on the Sabbath day, and that's work. So we want to be afraid. Yes, be afraid that we would what? That we would not obtain all the promises. That something would be left behind. Something would be missing. When it comes to the promises of God, of entering into his rest. His rest is righteousness, holiness, godliness. That we should rest from all the things that beset us. The sin and the iniquity, to have rest, to enter into his good land, in the promised land. We want to enter into his kingdom in our hearts. And in so doing, we want to bring our bodies into subjection as well. So we don't want to come short of the promises of God. He has given us these great and precious promises that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature. And the promises are that he will take away our sins. He will purify us, make us holy to him, make us righteous in his eyes. Not merely in theory, but also in fact. And these are the things we look for in our lives. And we want to be watching and looking and hoping and believing for them. Lest we come short of them. And we don't want to come short of them. We want to have them fulfilled in us, because that will make our calling and election sure. Because when we see the promises of God fulfilled in us, then we know that His work is being done in us, and that His salvation is at work in us. And that is very assuring. Very reassuring. So verse 2 says, to us was the gospel preached as well as to them. They had good news. Gospel means good news. The good news of Christ has been preached to us. He died for your sins. You know, He took our iniquities on Him. He takes away the stain of our sins. And also gives us His Holy Spirit, that we might walk as He walked. And we want to enter into that. We want to enter into that rest. We want to believe that it's possible. What happened to those who did not believe in the wilderness? That's what he says. But the word preached did not profit them, because it was not mingled with belief. They didn't believe the promises of God. You know, when it says, you know, he came to bless you in Acts chapter 2 or 3, when it says, he came to bless you in turning you everyone from your iniquities, not merely blotting out the stain, but also to turn us from them so that we wouldn't do them anymore. If you don't believe that you can overcome the giants, so to speak, because that's what the Israelites were afraid of. There were giants in the land and they were afraid. We cannot overcome those giants. And, you know, the giants in your life can be things like alcoholism, fornication, lust, backbiting, all sorts of things that we do that are not according to godliness. And many of them have such a strong hold on us, because sin has a powerful hold. It's deceitful, and it's strong, crafty, you know. And it has a hold in many places in our lives. We need, in that case, more than ever, to believe God for the victory. If we do not believe that God can take away our sins, not just the stain. To me, it's amazing that people are satisfied with that. Like, that's a good enough news for them. Oh, I'm not guilty, even though I keep doing the same things over and over again? Great. To them, that's great news. I'm forgiven. What more do I need?